I've kind of titled this whole summer series, To Know God. That's kind of my overriding thought. And why would it be important to know God? Well, let me tell you just a couple of scriptures. John writes in chapter 17, verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they may know you. Let me pause for a moment. What is eternal life? Is it heaven? See, eternal life, so many times I wonder if we've gotten this, I'm going to go to paradise and lay on the beach for the rest of my life. Like eternity is about knowing God. That's what eternity is about. The one true God, the only true God. It says, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's what we need to know. Paul proclaims this statement in Philippians 3:10. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Listen, the first week I started with the premise of this verse, and this is the verse that kind of hit me that said, this is why I need to walk through this. It's one that we're familiar with, 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Now, from the King James, it goes like this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God, everyone that loveth not knoweth, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. I grew up with that. I learned it until now. Now, that's the scripture. And it's a great scripture. We've sung it. We've read it. We've rehearsed it. And we say it's all about love. But I want you to catch something in here that really caught my heart. Let me read it to you this morning. It says, Dear friends, let us love one another. That sounds good, right? Amen? Love comes from God. That's true. Everyone who loves God has been what? So everyone who loves has been born of God and what? And knows God. I think one of the reasons that we don't love like we should is we really don't know the one who is love. And that last, or verse 8 says this, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to work your word into our hearts. Lord, we surrender our minds to the Spirit right now. Lord, it is you who reveals life in your word. And so, Lord, I ask you to deal with each of our hearts and our lives individually. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us as a church and as individuals to desire like these disciples desired to know him, to really know God, to know his love. Now, this is our second lesson in this series, and we're going to continue to look at what we call attributes of God or characteristics. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the omnipresence of God, and we learned that God is with us. He's in every time and in every place. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And therefore, we learned 4 things. Let me rehearse them again for you because it's been 2 weeks, and how many remember them? How many can name all 4? How many could pull out your notes and find it? A few of you. All right, number 1 was simply this. You are not alone. Never, ever think you're alone. I know at times we get sitting back and like, nobody's there. Elijah felt that way. But the Word of God teaches us that God is omnipresent. He is there. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm an ever-present help in time of trouble. He is there. Number 2, you no longer need to be afraid. If God is there, the psalmist said it this way, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. There's no need to be afraid. God is there. A third thing we learned is you will live with a new sense of accountability. When you become aware that God is there, it should change your speech, your attitude, your actions. God's with me. God is walking before me, beside me, behind me. Wherever I go, I represent him because he's here. So it should give us a different sense of accountability in our life if we really know that. But we close our doors and go, God, I'm going to keep you out there. Folks, he's everywhere. And fourthly, you don't have to find God. There's a lot of religions and a lot of people who tell you, you got to find God. Folks, He's everywhere. If anybody, He's come searching for you. It's not about you finding Him as much as He's searching for you. You just need to become aware and know that He's there. In fact, He's done all the work from Calvary to Pentecost. Why? To fill our lives and touch us. Because He has come searching for us. So He's there. He's not hiding from us. Now this week, I want to look at a second trait or characteristic or attribute, we call it. I've titled the message or the whole series, Knowing God. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the God who knows you. So many times we get into this place where we think God knows everything, but then we forget that He knows us. And so I want to talk about His omni or omniscience or omniscience. Those are the two words it's broke down into. As a review, I want to remind you, omni means universal or all. And then science actually means knowledge. That's what it means. So this simply means that God is all knowing. He knows everything. Now, there are many places in the Bible where this is taught, and Isaiah writes it really in question form, but here's the way Isaiah puts it in chapter 40. In verse 13 and 14, he says, "Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed Him as His counselor? For whom did the Lord consult to enlighten Him, and who taught Him the right way? Who was it that taught Him knowledge, or showed Him the path of understanding?" They're all rhetorical questions because God already knows. This is who He is. In the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul, and back to Romans 11, at the very end of 11, there is this masterful doxology that Paul writes. And I'm going to read it to you out of the message because I just want you to hear it today, and it's kind of vernacular of the day. It says this, verse 33 to 36. "Have you ever come on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God? This deep, deep wisdom. It's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Is there anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell Him what to do? Anyone who has done such a huge favor that God has to ask His advice? Everything comes from Him. Everything happens through Him. Everything ends up in Him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes." That's amen. He's just everything. Listen to what the Bible tells us about God's knowledge about you. Now, this is one of those scriptures you've heard, maybe never really knew where it was found. But did you know that God knows how many hairs you have on your head? Or how many you don't? Some it's easier to count than others, but listen to Luke 12, verse 7. "Indeed, Jesus says this, the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Not only does He know the number, He knows number 432. And He could point it out. They're numbered. You say, why would God spend so much time knowing everybody's hair? The point is, if He knows that, does He not know everything? He's numbered them. He knows, do you know He knows when you sit down and when you stand up? You say, well, that's easy. But did you know He knows your thoughts before you even say them? Psalm 139 in verse 2, it says, "You know when I sit down or stand up, you know my thoughts, even when I'm far away." Did you know He knows your words even before you speak them? Verse 4 says in 139, "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." You say, well, I'm about to say something. He already knows. Oh, God, I'm going to surprise you with my worship today. He already knows. There's nothing you can say, no thought you can have that He doesn't already know. He's that knowing. He knows your prayers before you pray them. Matthew 6, verse 8, Jesus once again says, "For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." He knows. It's like, God, I've got to talk to you today because there's some things you don't know. He knows. He knows everything you're going to do tomorrow, the next week. He knows next month. He knows next year. He knows every moment of every day. Psalm 139:16, you saw me before I was born. Listen to this. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. He knows you. In fact, really, Psalmist David summed it up in verse 1 of this whole chapter. We need to read all this, but because he makes the statement, but then he has to clarify it so we'll really believe it. But in Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and you, what? You know me. You know me. A.W. Tozer, in one of his books, he writes this about God's omniscience. You ready? It's up here for you. Because God knows all things perfectly, he knows no thing better than another thing, but all things equally well. He never discovers anything. He is never surprised, never amazed. He never wonders about anything, nor does he seek information or ask questions. He knows everything. I want to share, though, three things before I get into how this will apply to our lives that you need to know about this all-knowing character of God. First of all, you need to understand that his knowledge is not like man's knowledge. We tend to think, oh, God, this is how this works, and so that must be how you do it. Our knowledge is not even close to being equal. He reveals to us what we need to know. God's knowledge, though, is not limited like man's knowledge. Listen to Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. If you ever thought you had a thought, that God had a thought, it wasn't his thought. He says, my ways are not your ways. There's so many times, listen, he declares that. That's just who he is. He thinks differently than we do. Who am I to tell you what I know about God who knows everything? I feel inadequate. And that's why I need the Word of God to help us, because it's only the Word that reveals this. It's not my words this morning that gives you knowledge. It's him that lets you know that he knows these things. My knowledge is limited this morning. My mind is limited, but God is not. Secondly, you need to know that his knowledge is not learned knowledge. God didn't go to kindergarten as a kid to learn the ABCs. God has always been. God will always be. God has no beginning. God has no end. He just exists and knows it all. He does not live in time. He is eternity. If there is an eternity, the Bible says everything is held together in him. If there is eternity, it is in him. Next week, we're going to be talking about his omnipotence, his power. But you've got to know that he just knows everything because he's everywhere, all times, all places, all eternity. It's all in him. A third thing you need to know, though, as we walk through this, is that his knowledge is complete. God's knowledge is not like encyclopedias that have to be updated every year. Yet we, wait a minute. How many planets do we have? I grew up, I was taught we had 10 planets. How many grew up and you were taught we have 10 planets? How many have no idea how many planets there were? Do you know what they're teaching today, right? Pluto is not a planet. Because man learned this knowledge. And God's going, oh, y'all are, I'm being a little bit, maybe I'm being rude here, but God's like, you're stupid. Because the science that we're trying to figure out, he already knows. Do you get it? He's like, I placed those there. I looked at them. And whether it's a planet or not, it exists because it is doing exactly what he wanted it to do because he knew what he put it there for. for signs and for seasons and for times. And that's what he tells us in the very beginning. That's why he made all that. His science, his knowledge, he just knows. So you need to understand, he doesn't learn anything new. All right, so let's start here. God's omniscience, he knows who we are. So let me talk about this. Do you know he knows your secrets? If God knows everything, it means he knows everything you were hoping that no one else would know. Those are the things he knows. He knows what you've done. He knows what you've thought. He knows what your true intentions were. Listen to Jeremiah 16:17. It says, I see everything they do. They cannot hide from me the things they do. Their sin is not hidden from my eyes. There is a tough theological struggle that people have here. I want you to know sin does not bother God. Whoa. God can't look upon sin. The Bible never says that. If he couldn't look upon sin, he would never, ever look at this earth. Sin does not bother God. He is perfect in all his ways. It's not like that tempts me. God is not tempted by those things. Because he knows the outcome. He knows the results. So therefore, his perfectness is not tempted by it. He sees it. He knows what you're, where you're at. He knows everything about you. He knows those secret things that we hide. It amazes me how hard we work, though, in our lives to create a good image in front of other people. God knows who we really are. This morning, I put on a different shirt before I came, and I looked at it in the mirror, and it just didn't go with the white T-shirt. And I looked at it in the mirror, and my wife looked at it. She's like, that just don't go. And so I tried to create an image in front of you this morning that would look good or appealing. So I wore this beautiful, whatever this color really is, that only God knows. But we try to put this appearance on in front of people as though we're going to fool people. But you can never fool God. He already knows everything, and we work so hard to cover up our failures, to cover up our poor choices. The truth is, church, unfortunately, we've gotten pretty good at it in front of other people. But in front of God, he knows. God knows our good points, but he also knows those secret things. He knows what you dream about. He knows what you fantasize about. He knows every envy. He knows every resentment, every revenge, every bitterness you've ever felt. He knows the way that you tried to manipulate the situation. He knows. He knows the way that maybe you said something to destroy somebody else's character. He knows. He knows the way we misrepresent ourselves to look better than we really are. Some of those things we try to hide from others, but they're not hidden from God. He knows our secrets, but he also knows our scars. God just doesn't know every good and every wicked part of our life. He knows the pain that we have in our hearts. One of the things that makes us feel isolated in life is the feeling that nobody really understands. Nobody knows how I feel. And every one of us in this place has felt that. Nobody really knows. Some people try to be kind and they mean well and they try to help us, but they just don't understand. They just don't know. But God does. God knows. He knows your disappointments. He knows the depth of the loss that you feel in your heart. He knows about the way others have hurt you. He knows how you've been betrayed by others. He knows the false accusations. He knows the times that you were overlooked. He knows about the times that you've served and you weren't appreciated. He knows that you've been scarred. He knows every one of them. And when you feel that no one else understands, God does. In fact, only God really and truly understands you. Only God knows all the details. He knows all the variables. He knows all the circumstances. God has all the information. And when you really think about it, and you realize that he understands, you also understand that He knows you better than you know yourself. The Bible in Proverbs said that we don't even know the own motives of our heart at times. We don't know, but God knows. Did you know there's not a single tear that has fallen from your eye that's gone unnoticed by God? Not one. There's not a fear that has gripped you that God hasn't noticed. He knows what has scarred your life, and He cares. Not only does He know our secrets and our scars, but He also knows our service. God not only knows our service, and I think that's good news for us. At times when you feel like I've done something right, nobody ever noticed. I finally did something right. God noticed. Those times when you were trying to do the right thing and it didn't go like you expected it to, God knew your heart. He knows what's really going on. And all those times that we worked so hard and it seemed like it turned out for nothing, it wasn't for nothing. God knew. There are people who serve the Lord behind the scenes and in the shadows that we'll never know. The person who's conscientious about the house of the Lord and they walk through and pick up a piece of paper or paint a wall or this or that, that you'll never know. God knows. The person who teaches year after year in the corner of a building here somewhere that I don't even know them. God knows. The person who is faithfully stopping by and visiting shut-ins or going to the hospital. You don't have to have permission to do that. God knows. You can do these things. The person who provides meals for special activities. The person who's always just doing what they can to help. The person who agrees to be a part of a ministry. The person who affirms in a positive way other people and lift them up. The person who puts in extra time to make it to the highest of quality because I'm doing this for the Lord. Everything we do, we should do it as unto the Lord. Why? Because He knows. And somebody else will say, well, you just didn't do that the way I would have done it. Who cares? God knows. It doesn't mean you have a wrong attitude about it, but you don't have to get frustrated. God knows. Often, though, these people feel forgotten, unappreciated. But God, the audience of one, doesn't miss a thing. No act of love in His name is ever missed. God not only knows about us, but are you ready for this? He knows our future. God has the big picture in view. He sees what you and I do not see. He knows what is unknowable to us. Jeremiah 29:11, you're familiar with this, for I know. Now, many times we look at the last part of this verse and we read it for our benefit, but I want you to catch it and understand it's what He knows that really matters. It's not where I live. It's not the second half of this. It's just that I know that He knows. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Most of us, you need to realize, life is a mystery. How many feel like you're driving in a fog? That's the way we feel. I can always see just a little bit ahead. And even our best laid plans, they're tentative because we don't know what's around the next bend. Life makes turns that we know nothing about. But God knows them. He knows where He's taking your life. He knows what's important to accomplish in your life to bring Him glory. Even though we may not see where we're going, the fact that God is all-knowing, God is omniscient, assures us I'm not wandering aimlessly. God has a plan. He knows what will become. He knows what obstacles will be in your way that you can overcome. He knows the way home, no matter how lost you may feel. God knows, and He knows what's best for us. So what are life lessons? Now, let me pause here for a moment because I want you to understand. In all of this, we can just hear it and know about God. But folks, the reality of this is not just to know about Him, but to know Him. And to know Him means you put life application to these things. It's not just knowledge. How many of you know how to fix a lawnmower? See, it's one of the, okay. You can tell me all about it, but would I give you the lawnmower that I'll bring to you tomorrow? No, I'm just... No, but when you get the lawnmower in your hand, he takes it and he applies what he knows. You see? So today, as I give you life lessons, are you ready for them? I've just shared about, now it's time for you to get to know and apply. Here's the first one. Number one, life lesson. It is foolish to be anything but honest with God. In fact, the Bible tells us the fool in his heart says there's no God. That is the fool, because the fool doesn't know God. It would be foolish to think that God, I'm not going to tell you everything right now. You know, we'll get there in our relationship. He already knows. How many of you ever tried to bluff a parent? You've lied to your parent to bluff them because you don't think they know the truth. I'm looking at my children right now just to see. No, we've all tried it. I tried it as a kid. I remember Mom telling me not to go pick blackberries in the woods and definitely not to eat them. I wasn't supposed to pick them. I wasn't supposed to eat them. It was one of those times I remember, because I had blackberry all over my face, and I went in and Mom says, "You've been picking blackberries." No. It was foolish. She had the knowledge. She knew. I remember stealing pennies from Mama. She used to collect them and roll them up and keep them in the bottom of her drawer, but I was slick. I didn't take them all at one time, just one or two. But after a while, one and two adds up to 10 or 12, and I couldn't see that. But Mom knew. And unfortunately, we try to fool people. We try to do it, but it's futile to try to fool God. In fact, if we try to fool a parent, it only irritates the parent. Well, folks, let's not try to fool God. There's absolutely no use in playing a game with God. In fact, I find it refreshing to go to God and be honest. Something like this: "Lord, I know you want me to forgive people. But I know, and you know, Lord, how they've hurt me." Right? That's honest. So far, we're good. "And you know that I really don't want to forgive them." How far are we doing good so far? Maybe I'm just talking about me, not you. "And I feel like, Lord, I want to get even with them." Maybe you've even gone this far. "And God, I just want you to destroy them." Now you laugh, but did David not pray? In fact, you know what he did? He said, "I'm going to write a song and we're going to sing it as a congregation. Lord, bash their heads against the rocks. God, destroy him." And the whole congregation used to sing it. Why? Because they were honest. Because we know how we feel. Why can't we just be honest with God when we pray and just talk to him? And just tell him, "Lord, this is how I feel." Like I'm going to fool him, "Lord, I'm going to forgive him." And in your heart, you know you're not. Why lie? You're making it worse. Just be honest. Don't try to fool God. Listen, you don't have to pretend to be spiritual with God. He knows what you've done. He knows what you think. He knows when you've run from him. He knows when you've been rebellious and resisting him. But I want you to know this. He still is reaching out to you. He knows it all, and yet he still comes to you, because there is no love that's more transforming than a love that knows the truth and loves you anyway. My kids, I'm not telling on you, but they've not been perfect. But it's never affected my love. It has nothing to do. I have a nephew right now. He used to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he has abandoned the faith. He has abandoned his wife and his three children. But I love my nephew. I want to believe that God knows him and he's still reaching out to him. It does, God knows everything. And we put people in places and we say, well, we'll never be able to reach them. But God loves them. He knows it all. It doesn't matter. That's why he died on a cross. He said, because I have come to redeem you, I'll pay the payment. And it'll all be taken care of. I know. He's still reaching out. He knows us and he loves us. All right, point two. So first of all, don't try to fool God. Point two, listen, don't keep a scorecard. Let me explain. Quit keeping a scorecard. I know all of us want credit for what we've done on earth. Let me read 2 Corinthians 5 to you for a moment. You'll like this verse. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. Everybody want to say amen? Well, let's read the rest of it. See if you really want to say amen. But this is what's going to happen. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. There it is. You want to know what's going to happen? You're going to be judged for the good and the evil, and you're going to be rewarded appropriately. I know we want credit for what we've done here. We want payment for what we've produced. We want the world to notice so we'll look noble. But don't keep a scorecard of who's done what and what you've done. God will make all the accounts settled properly in the days ahead. No deed will go unnoticed. No good that's been done for him will go unrewarded. In our lives, we tend to remember the good that we've done and we forget the other stuff. But God knows and he sees it all. And fortunately for those who are in Christ, listen to this. God will reward every act of faithfulness, and thank God for this, he forgives all the other stuff. And God hasn't missed a thing. A third life lesson is this. It would be wise to commit our lives to him. If he is really all-knowing, would it not be wise to say, Lord, here is my life? In fact, it's a really simple conclusion to all of this. If God is all wise, knows everything there is to know, why don't I listen to him? He knows it all. How do we do this? This is the way I believe we commit. Number one is we need to confess. To confess really means to come clean. That's what it is. To tell God what you've done wrong. Now, confessing is not for God. God already knows. Confessing is for us. It's for us to realize our condition. It's for us to acknowledge our wrongdoings. You know what the problem with people coming to Christ is? Because we've made all these things you have to do. But you need to understand the biggest struggle that most people struggle with is they don't realize that they're a sinner. They don't acknowledge and confess that I've really done anything wrong. If they do, then they still want to justify it some way because of what was done to them. Therefore, they just don't come to the place and confess. Pour it out. I've messed up. I was the one wrong. And this is a point that we can commit to the Lord by confessing. God already knows, but we need to acknowledge it. We turn to God, turn from the rebellion, confess our sins, and then we do what? We believe. That's what we do to commit our lives. We believe God in our hearts. We get to know him. We believe that Jesus was God who became flesh and dwelt among us. We believe he lived a sinless life. He died on a cross and paid for our rebellion. We believe he rose from the dead. He's offered salvation and life to everyone who will believe. However, it's not enough just to have head knowledge of belief. We commit our lives to these truths. We confess, and then we believe, and then what do? We follow. This is what we do. And Revelation 17, verse 14 says, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. We need to commit our ways, our lives, our everything. We need to follow him. We need to get to know him. To love him is to know him better. And to know him, you'll want to love him if you know who he is. Can you be honest about your life is a question today. Could you confess your sin? He already knows everything and he still loves you. Will you place confidence in God that what he's done through Jesus Christ is enough? Can you trust him and not your goodness? Will you trust him? Stop worrying about eternity. It amazes me how many people are worried about eternity. But if you know God, there's no worry. Because he's either true to everything he said or he's not. And you know that if you know him. Will you follow the Lord rather than the crowds? Will you depend and seek his wisdom rather than the wisdom of the world? There are a lot of voices out there in the world, the voices of your friends, the voices of our country. But I'm telling you, there is only one counsel that I want, and it comes from the all-knowing, ever-present, all-wise God. That's the one I want to hear from. But can we trust him? Can we commit to him? Learning about God, listen, can be, I talked about it a moment, it can be just an academic exercise. We've come to class today, I sat in the seminar, I heard all the information. I do not want this to become an academic exercise week after week. I want us to turn to God. I want us to get to know God. I want him to be a part of your life, every moment, every breath that you breathe. You are breathing in because he is ever present and he knows that I have committed. I'm going to quit being foolish about trying to not be honest. I'm just going to give everything. I challenge you today. I want you to entrust your complete life, not your Sunday life, not your partial life, but your all to him. God is all-knowing. He is omniscient. He knows you. You don't have to question, God, do you really understand me? He knows. So the question today is, what will we do with it?